This is the listening test of the National Examination in English. There are 5 tasks in this test. For the first task, you will hear the recording only once. For all the other tasks, you will hear the recording twice. Now turn to task 1. Task 1. You will hear a podcast about how to save money on everyday expenses. You will hear the recording only once. Before you listen, read the sentences below. While you listen, complete the sentences. Write no more than 2 words in each gap. An example 0 has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the sentences.
You probably already know some of the basics, like how making your own coffee or bringing your lunch to work can help you save hundreds of dollars a year. If you're doing that, definitely keep it up. But let's look at a few other ways you can save on everyday expenses, and how some simple decisions that you make every day can help you save money. The supermarket is a great place to start because there are a lot of easy ways to cut down on your shopping bill. You may already be doing things like making a list to cut back on impulse buying, clipping coupons, or using apps to find deals, and even looking at the price per unit to help you get the most for your money. But there are even more ways you can save. For example, when you see a sale or discount, be strategic. Sales and discounts can be great opportunities to save on things you need, but stores often offer incentives for items that a lot of people wouldn't normally get. And while you're considering priorities, spend on what's important, save on what's not. For example, for some people, things like organic foods or your favorite brands might be important to you. For others, what's important may be different. The point is that it might be worthwhile to spend a bit more on the items you care about, but look for ways to save on the things that are less important to you to keep you on budget. Making simple trade-offs like these can help you save money without giving up what's important. Finally, before you even make a shopping list, consider your actual eating and cooking habits. A good idea is to plan your meals ahead of time, or challenge yourself to eat at least one more meal at home each week. This may help prevent you from tossing out spoiled groceries that you didn't eat, or ordering takeout because you didn't buy enough food for the week. Keeping with household expenses and bills. You probably already turn off the lights when you leave a room, and unplug gadgets when you aren't using them, right? But there are some other small changes you can make that can help you save even more around the house. For example, did you know that most utility companies charge more for electricity during different parts of the day? Peak hours, like the middle of the day, when more people are using electricity, often have substantially higher rates compared to early mornings or late at night. Doing your laundry or running your dishwasher off-peak can likely help you save on your utility bill. You can check out your utility company's website to see if they list their peak hours or contact them directly. Let's move on to transportation. Gas prices can be unpredictable, but technology could be a way to help you save. There are plenty of websites and apps that can help you locate which gas station in your area might be offering the cheapest prices. And depending on how often you drive and where you live, you may consider ditching your car altogether. Public transportation might be one option. And there are a number of car sharing programs that allow you to affordably rent vehicles short term. And for the truly dedicated, how about biking? It's certainly a cost-effective and healthy alternative to both driving and public transportation.
That is the end of task 1. Now move on to task 2. Task 2. You will hear different news items. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the headlines A to M below. While you listen, match the headlines to the news items and write letters B to M in the table. There are 2 extra headlines that you do not need to use. An example 0 has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the headlines. Example zero.
The world's longest aircraft took flight this past week in England. The helium-filled Airlander 10 is more than 300 feet long, nearly 50 feet longer than the biggest passenger planes. It can spend several days in the air without refueling. Jonathan Vigliotti has more on this unusual airship.
Item one.
Good evening. It was the greatest show on Earth. The sun and the moon put on a celestial performance for an audience of hundreds of millions, a matinee that saw the moon upstage the sun and bring darkness to daytime. The sun was completely blocked for a couple of minutes in a band 70 miles wide that stretched across 14 states from Oregon to South Carolina. It was the first coast-to-coast total eclipse in 99 years for many Americans, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to witness and celebrate a wonder of the universe.
Item two.
Here's an update on that Da Vinci painting that sold last month for a record $450 million. Salvator Mundi, Latin for Savior of the World, will be displayed in Abu Dhabi at a newly opened branch of the Louvre. The New York Times reports the painting's mystery buyer is a Saudi prince.
Item three.
While most jobs in technology are filled by men, you may be surprised by the size of the majority, 75%. To get more women breaking through the silicon chip ceiling, a female scientist created a tech contest limited to teenage girls. No boys allowed.
Item four.
No one knew it at the time, but 20 years ago today, an industry was born. When Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was first published in Britain, author J.K. Rowling had been living in poverty, but after a pile of rejection letters, she finally landed a $2,000 publishing deal. Just 500 hardcover copies of the Philosopher's Stone were printed originally. There would be six more volumes, of course, more than 450 million books sold in 79 languages. Movies, games, toys followed.
Item five.
For as long as humans have looked to the heavens, we've wondered whether there is life on other planets. Chip Reed on a discovery announced today that has scientists very excited.
For astronomers, finding seven Earth-sized planets orbiting a single sun is like finding a pot of gold next to the Holy Grail.
Item six.
A powerful storm system is set to howl across the country with more than 170 million people in its path. Snow is piling up fast in the Northwest. In Oregon, its icy roads are cutting visibility for drivers. It's also spinning tires in Washington state. Lonnie Quinn from WCBS-TV joins us. Lonnie, what happens when this heads east?
Item seven.
Most of the world got to see a total lunar eclipse tonight for an hour and 43 minutes, the longest of this century. A lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth passes between the sun and the moon, casting a deep shadow over the moon's surface. We in the U.S. did not get to see it, but Seth Stone found a beautiful spot in Rome.
Listen again and check your answers. Item one.
Good evening. It was the greatest show on Earth. The sun and the moon put on a celestial performance for an audience of hundreds of millions, a matinee that saw the moon upstage the sun and bring darkness to daytime. The sun was completely blocked for a couple of minutes in a band 70 miles wide that stretched across 14 states from Oregon to South Carolina. It was the first coast-to-coast total eclipse in 99 years for many Americans, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to witness and celebrate a wonder of the universe.
Item 2.
Here's an update on that Da Vinci painting that sold last month for a record $450 million. Salvator Mundi, Latin for Savior of the World, will be displayed in Abu Dhabi at a newly opened branch of the Louvre. The New York Times reports the painting's mystery buyer is a Saudi prince.
Item 3.
While most jobs in technology are filled by men, you may be surprised by the size of the majority, 75%. To get more women breaking through the silicon chip ceiling, a female scientist created a tech contest limited to teenage girls. No boys allowed.
Item 4.
No one knew it at the time, but 20 years ago today, an industry was born. When Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was first published in Britain, author J.K. Rowling had been living in poverty, but after a pile of rejection letters, she finally landed a $2,000 publishing deal. Just 500 hardcover copies of the Philosopher's Stone were printed originally. There would be 6 more volumes, of course, more than 450 million books sold in 79 languages. Movies, games, toys followed.
Item 5.
For as long as humans have looked to the heavens, we've wondered whether there is life on other planets. Chip Reed on a discovery announced today that has scientists very excited.
For astronomers, finding 7 Earth-sized planets orbiting a single sun is like finding a pot of gold next to the Holy Grail.
Item 6.
A powerful storm system is set to howl across the country with more than 170 million people in its path. Snow is piling up fast in the Northwest. In Oregon, its icy roads are cutting visibility for drivers. It's also spinning tires in Washington state. Lonnie Quinn from WCBS-TV joins us. Lonnie, what happens when this heads east?
Item 7.
Most of the world got to see a total lunar eclipse tonight for an hour and 43 minutes, the longest of this century. A lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth passes between the sun and the moon, casting a deep shadow over the moon's surface. We in the U.S. did not get to see it, but Seth Doan found a beautiful spot in Rome.
That is the end of Task 2. Now move on to Task 3. Task 3. You will hear a woman talk about happiness at work. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences below. While you listen, tick the correct option, A, B, or C. An example 0 has been done for you. You now have 45 seconds to read the sentences.
So, if you don't know who I am, I am a host on public radio. I hosted a show called The Takeaway for a number of years. I've hosted Tell Me More for NPR, Talk of the Nation, Weekend Edition, many others. I anchored presidential coverage for PBS World. I've spoken to movie stars and presidents and Pulitzer Prize winners and Nobel Peace Prize winners, but I have never studied journalism in school. I'm a professional opera singer, and radio is my day job. I have a master's degree in music, so you might be thinking that I am not using my music degree in my job as a broadcast journalist, but you would be really, really wrong. Yes, radio show host and professional opera singer are two very different jobs, but in fact, the core mission of both of them is exactly the same. In both of those jobs, I'm reaching out to people, I'm communicating with people, I'm inspiring people, I'm moving people using only the power of my voice. So now, if I'm asked how I got where I am, I say, I found my mission, and I forgot about the job title. Let me say that again, because that's the whole point of this entire talk. I found my mission, and I completely ignored what the job title was. The fact of the matter is, most people in the world do not like their work. So I want you all to take a look around you and count out 10 people, okay, surrounding you somewhere. Using global statistics, 9 of those people do not like what they do. But this is the US, so let's use American statistics. Count out your 10 people again, take a look at them. 1 of them really likes what they do. To that person, congratulations. 6 of them think, eh, it's not killing me. And 3 of them really hate their work, really hate it. Job dissatisfaction costs this country up to $550 billion a year in lost productivity. That is billion with a B. Worldwide, nearly 90% of people don't like their work. And that statistic really doesn't tell us very much. Maybe human beings don't like to work. Maybe we have universally horrible bosses. But let me tell you what I think that statistic means. I think it means we are terrible at choosing the right job. What things do we consider when we're looking for work? And I'm not talking about the I'm unemployed, I'll take anything situation. I'm talking about the I don't like what I do, I want to try something new. What do we think? We think about salary, obviously. No-brainer. We think about location. Americans have shown themselves to be very reluctant to move, and in fact, we don't even like to move very far to get to our work. The average commute time is about 20 to 25 minutes, and that has stayed the same for more than a decade. What else? Benefits, vacation time, health care, retirement, sick days. And believe me, that is all really, really important. But research such as the Harvard Business Review wondered if those things also made you happy. So they studied it, and the answer was no. Of all the many, many things that go into happiness on the job, the highest single impact is purpose. People who think there's significance and meaning to the work that they do are more than 3 times as likely to stay in their job.
Listen again and check your answers.
So, if you don't know who I am, I am a host on public radio. I hosted a show called The Takeaway for a number of years. I've hosted Tell Me More for NPR, Talk of the Nation, Weekend Edition, many others. I anchored presidential coverage for PBS World. I've spoken to movie stars and presidents and Pulitzer Prize winners and Nobel Peace Prize winners, but I have never studied journalism in school. I'm a professional opera singer, and radio is my day job. I have a master's degree in music, so you might be thinking that I am not using my music degree in my job as a broadcast journalist, but you would be really, really wrong. Yes, radio show host and professional opera singer are two very different jobs, but in fact, the core mission of both of them is exactly the same. In both of those jobs, I'm reaching out to people, I'm communicating with people, I'm inspiring people, I'm moving people using only the power of my voice. So now, if I'm asked how I got where I am, I say, I found my mission, and I forgot about the job title. Let me say that again, because that's the whole point of this entire talk. I found my mission, and I completely ignored what the job title was. The fact of the matter is, most people in the world do not like their work. So I want you all to take a look around you and count out 10 people, okay, surrounding you somewhere. Using global statistics, 9 of those people do not like what they do. But this is the US, so let's use American statistics. Count out your 10 people again, take a look at them. 1 of them really likes what they do. To that person, congratulations. 6 of them think, eh, it's not killing me. And 3 of them really hate their work, really hate it. Job dissatisfaction costs this country up to $550 billion a year in lost productivity. That is billion with a B. Worldwide, nearly 90% of people don't like their work. And that statistic really doesn't tell us very much. Maybe human beings don't like to work. Maybe we have universally horrible bosses. But let me tell you what I think that statistic means. I think it means we are terrible at choosing the right job. What things do we consider when we're looking for work? And I'm not talking about the I'm unemployed, I'll take anything situation. I'm talking about the I don't like what I do, I want to try something new. What do we think? We think about salary, obviously. No-brainer. We think about location. Americans have shown themselves to be very reluctant to move, and in fact, we don't even like to move very far to get to our work. The average commute time is about 20 to 25 minutes, and that has stayed the same for more than a decade. What else? Benefits, vacation time, health care, retirement, sick days. And believe me, that is all really, really important. But research such as the Harvard Business Review wondered if those things also made you happy. So they studied it, and the answer was no. Of all the many, many things that go into happiness on the job, the highest single impact is purpose. People who think there's significance and meaning to the work that they do are more than 3 times as likely to stay in their job.
That is the end of task 3. Now move on to task 4. Task 4. You will hear a man answer a list of questions about traveling in Europe. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the questions A to M below. While you listen, match the questions to the items and write letters B to M in the table. There are 2 extra questions that you do not need to use. An example, 0, has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the questions. Example 0.
For me, what I found is that chasing down my own interests, whatever they are, whatever my own hobbies or passions or interests are, that is what I look up first as far as to see if there are any events going down in Europe or, you know, it just gives me a way to or a perspective from which to design this trip.
Item 1.
What I do on any new city, if I'm going to a new city that I'm not so strong in, I'll just devour all the content that I possibly can about this city. And so what that means is it means juggling and developing an eye for the social or the crowdsource review websites that are out there. Everybody knows them.
Item 2.
Those are great places to start, but remember that they're not the only resource out there. And, you know, more often than not, the people who are leaving these reviews, which are, you know, either say the best ever or the worst ever, have no contextual experience one way or another to support that. You know, if somebody has an amazing experience or a horrible experience, those are really the only 2 times that many people go on to Yelp to leave a review.
Item 3.
Every step along the way, I love to meet the locals who live in this city. Whoever they are, wherever they're from, I love to meet the people and hear their story about whatever city I'm visiting because, you know, you're going to have some interesting conversations when you know those hot button issues to not necessarily rile somebody up, but to just talk with them about. And I think that's really what travel's all about is to hear stories that you wouldn't necessarily hear otherwise when you're just back home on the couch.
Item 4.
When you're putting together your first trip or across Europe, it's a mistake that I see people make all the time is trying to do too much and too little at a time. You know, when you try to see eight cities in 10 days, you're just going to be absolutely exhausted and you're not going to see any of those eight cities. Rather, pick three of those and just give yourself a reason to come back over, you know, at the end of the day.
Item 5.
Everybody knows these days that the best time to book is Tuesday afternoon. I've found that to be somewhat accurate, and I'm also careful to clear my cookies, you know, if I'm revisiting a site looking at the same flight that I saw the day before, I'll clear out my history so that that website can't recognize that I'm coming back and looking at the same option.
Item 6.
Getting around Europe, you got a few choices. You can bus it, you can train it, you can plane it. You can go on planes, you can hop on a train or a bus. All of them, of course, come with pros and cons. And the main two things that you got to contrast is the price, but it's also what is it going to cost you time-wise.
Item 7.
One thing that I love to do in cities like London and Paris, because they're such big cities, because they're such modern cities, there's always something going on. And the way people advertise about it is through magazines like Time Out, for example. And oftentimes they'll be putting on shows or art exhibits or having a gallery where they're selling artwork, but you can still go and see what people are doing for free or very cheap.
Listen again and check your answers. Item 1.
What I do on any new city, if I'm going to a new city that I'm not so strong in, I'll just devour all the content that I possibly can about this city. And so what that means is it means juggling and developing an eye for the social or the crowdsource review websites that are out there. Everybody knows them.
Item 2.
Those are great places to start, but remember that they're not the only resource out there. And, you know, more often than not, the people who are leaving these reviews, which are, you know, either say the best ever or the worst ever, have no contextual experience one way or another to support that. You know, if somebody has an amazing experience or a horrible experience, those are really the only two times that many people go on to Yelp to leave a review.
Item 3.
Every step along the way, I love to meet the locals who live in this city. Whoever they are, wherever they're from, I love to meet the people and hear their story about whatever city I'm visiting, because, you know, you're going to have some interesting conversations when you know those hot button issues to not necessarily rile somebody up, but to just talk with them about. And I think that's really what travel's all about, is to hear stories that you wouldn't necessarily hear otherwise when you're just back home on the couch.
Item 4.
When you're putting together your first trip or across Europe, it's a mistake that I see people make all the time, is trying to do too much and too little at a time. You know, when you try to see eight cities in 10 days, you're just going to be absolutely exhausted and you're not going to see any of those eight cities. Rather, pick three of those and just give yourself a reason to come back over, you know, at the end of the day.
Item 5.
Everybody knows these days that the best time to book is Tuesday afternoon. I've found that to be somewhat accurate, and I'm also careful to clear my cookies, you know, if I'm revisiting a site looking at the same flight that I saw the day before, I'll clear out my history so that that website can't recognize that I'm coming back and looking at the same option.
Item 6.
Getting around Europe, you got a few choices. You can bus it, you can train it, you can plane it. You can go on planes, you can hop on a train or a bus. All of them, of course, come with pros and cons. And the main two things that you got to contrast is the price, but it's also what is it going to cost you time-wise.
Item 7.
One thing that I love to do in cities like London and Paris, because they're such big cities, because they're such modern cities, there's always something going on. And the way people advertise about it is through magazines like Time Out, for example. And oftentimes they'll be putting on shows or art exhibits or having a gallery where they're selling artwork, but you can still go and see what people are doing for free or very cheap.
That is the end of task 4. Now move on to task 5. Task 5. You will hear a talk about time management. You will hear the recording twice. Before you listen, read the sentences below. While you listen, complete the sentences. Write no more than 3 words in each gap. An example 0 has been done for you. You now have 30 seconds to read the sentences.
Life as a student can be hectic. We all have to keep track of our classes we attend, readings to complete, assignments to work on, and that's on top of our social life and work commitments. I'd like to show you how you can make time management much easier by using the right tools and keeping in mind some simple steps. Okay, let's begin. The first step is to identify all reoccurring events in your schedule and add them to your agenda. For example, you should insert all the classes, tutorials, and labs you attend each week. Yes, you need to put them all in, and make sure you indicate the time each one begins and ends. Electronic calendars make this step a bit easier since they usually have a repeat option, so you don't have to duplicate the event by hand. While we're at it, why not block Friday nights for some fun? It may sound silly, but students need to plan for some time off if we want to be productive the rest of the time. So make sure to schedule a bit of time for yourself every day, whether it's watching your favorite show or calling a friend. Of course, you will also need to add appointments, work shifts, hockey practice, or group meetings in there too. I've learned the hard way that if I don't do it right away, I'll forget. I hate that sinking feeling of realizing that I forgot to meet someone. Alarm and remind functions are perfect for alerting me of appointments. Sometimes I even set more than one alarm. One for the day before, and one for the day of the event. What I like the most about smartphones and other handheld devices is that I have them with me wherever I go. If you want to access your schedule from different places or devices, there are terrific online tools that allow you to synchronize your agenda so you have the same details on your computer as well as your handheld device. One of the most challenging aspects of time management for me is scheduling time for ongoing schoolwork, like projects, essays, and assignments. Because these tasks are more complex and need to be done over several days or even weeks, I used to procrastinate by doing all the easier things in my agenda first, pushing that project to the next day, then the next. Well, you get my point. Finally, I found a solution. I've started to look at each assignment as a multiple-step process and schedule some time for each step. I actually feel less stressed because I only need to focus on one step at a time. A good rule of thumb is to cut a large assignment into a minimum of 6 steps. So, as soon as I know I have an assignment coming up, I take the time to put each of these steps into my schedule. You need to be honest and schedule enough time for each task. For example, I will have to give myself a lot more time for writing than I would for choosing a topic. Well, I hope you found my suggestions helpful. Try them out and then adapt them to fit your own personality and schedule.
Listen again and check your answers.
Life as a student can be hectic. We all have to keep track of our classes we attend, readings to complete, assignments to work on, and that's on top of our social life and work commitments. I'd like to show you how you can make time management much easier by using the right tools and keeping in mind some simple steps. Okay, let's begin. The first step is to identify all reoccurring events in your schedule and add them to your agenda. For example, you should insert all the classes, tutorials, and labs you attend each week. Yes, you need to put them all in, and make sure you indicate the time each one begins and ends. Electronic calendars make this step a bit easier since they usually have a repeat option, so you don't have to duplicate the event by hand. While we're at it, why not block Friday nights for some fun? It may sound silly, but students need to plan for some time off if we want to be productive the rest of the time. So make sure to schedule a bit of time for yourself every day, whether it's watching your favorite show or calling a friend. Of course, you will also need to add appointments, work shifts, hockey practice, or group meetings in there too. I've learned the hard way that if I don't do it right away, I'll forget. I hate that sinking feeling of realizing that I forgot to meet someone. Alarm and remind functions are perfect for alerting me of appointments. Sometimes I even set more than one alarm, one for the day before and one for the day of the event. What I like the most about smartphones and other handheld devices is that I have them with me wherever I go. If you want to access your schedule from different places or devices, there are terrific online tools that allow you to synchronize your agenda so you have the same details on your computer as well as your handheld device. One of the most challenging aspects of time management for me is scheduling time for ongoing schoolwork, like projects, essays, and assignments. Because these tasks are more complex and need to be done over several days or even weeks, I used to procrastinate by doing all the easier things in my agenda first, pushing that project to the next day, then the next. Well, you get my point. Finally, I found a solution. I've started to look at each assignment as a multiple-step process and schedule some time for each step. I actually feel less stressed because I only need to focus on one step at a time. A good rule of thumb is to cut a large assignment into a minimum of 6 steps. So, as soon as I know I have an assignment coming up, I take the time to put each of these steps into my schedule. You need to be honest and schedule enough time for each task. For example, I will have to give myself a lot more time for writing than I would for choosing a topic. Well, I hope you found my suggestions helpful. Try them out and then adapt them to fit your own personality and schedule.
That is the end of the listening test. Now move on to the reading test.